And now I'd like to welcome our next two guests, Nessa O'Mahony and Hugh McFadden, who both, again, are featured poets in this book.
Hi there.
Hi. And you're both welcome. Nessa, if we start with yourself, three poems in the book.
It's a record. Well, not quite. But no, absolutely delighted to be in this. It's gas. I've been writing for 20 years, and this is actually the first book that any of my friends have noticed. And they said, oh, you're in it. Oh, well done. So I'm kind of like an overnight success. So no, really feeling very privileged to be in such good company.
Yes.
It is a beautiful book, and just you can dip in and dip out and never be jaded. It's lovely stuff.
Yes, yeah, and yourself, Hugh?
Yes, I'm delighted to be in this as well, because it's getting a lot of publicity and a lot of notice. I've been in a couple of anthologies that haven't got quite as much notice, and actually it's a great idea to have a book of verse, poetry and song.
Yeah, altogether, yeah.
It's the one city, one book for a change, you know?
Yes, yeah. Okay, well, I know you both have lovely poems to read for us, so I won't keep you too long. Maybe we'll go straight on to the poems, Ness, if you'd
sure.
like to read
okay.
your poem for us.
So this is a poem not too far away. It's called Smithfield Saturday. He only took this route in early mornings, herring through green lights and the occasional red, as if we owned the paper-strewn streets. But when we crossed the bridge, our car gave way to rumbling juggernauts. Forklifts turned laden pallets on a penny through plastic ribbon doors. Following at a distance, we clutched hands, obeyed his curt commands over roaring engines and the baritone of traders. Nearer, burning rubber and diesel fumes were laced with citrus, mixed with the sweet breath of ripe bananas, the damp earth odor of potato sacks. Inside, we ranged from stall to stall, Aladdin's counting out the loot, hovering once the choice was made, the crate jemmied to reveal its crinkled papered hoard. Our father, transformed to haggler, picked up the fruit and sniffed each expertly, his voice in muted undertone for the transaction. He always knew his man, exchanging racing tips before the spit and handshake polished off the deal. Back past rows of exotica we never tasted, past straw-filled crates showing labels garish with palm trees and pyramids, arguing the toss on whether Jaffa was the place or just a trader's name.
A Smithfield that we're familiar with in a different way now, but that brings back a lot of memories, certainly.
Absolutely.
Hugh, if you want to tell us about your poem and read
first. The poem I'm going to read is called Mise en Scène on the Street, and the street is the one around the corner, O'Connell Street, or Sackville Street, as I begin with. My three poems in the book, if ever you go, are set in Harold's Cross mm-hmm. on the south side, but this one is definitely on the north side. And I'm a north sider because I was born north of the Liffey. Uh-huh. About 180 kilometres north of the Liffey,
wow.
in Derry City, but extended suburb.
Okay.
So I'm not really a Southsider. And I read the local one.
Sure.
Mise en Scène on the Street, in memory of Ronnie Drew, whom I knew slightly. When Sackville Street was ransacked by local scumbags or gurriers, native villains, red, white and blue jackeens, untrue dubs, who stuffed their sacks and bags with loot and scarpered down O'Connell Street, where Big Jim Larkin, fiery agitator, would-be liberator, after the great cloaked Dan with his wounded angels, raised aloft his arms in supplication. Get up off your knees, stand on your own feet. And the long-lost chief, Charles Stuart Parnell, at the rotunda, pointing his finger at the hospital where the women lie in. No man has the right to fix the boundary of a nation. Near this self-same scene, within gunshot, stood Porrick Pierce, reading aloud the proclamation, at the very spot where all the postmen filled their bulging sacks, proudly intoning those famous words, Irish men and Irish women, in the name of God and of the dead, James Connolly marched the GPO from Liberty Hall and raised the starry plough. The worker is the slave of the capitalist society. The female worker is the slave of that slave. Only a stone's throw away in space-time, W.B. Yeats stood and declared, "You have disgraced yourselves again." And again, in 66, shots rang out sharply on rooftops once looked down on by stony-faced Admiral Nelson. "It's not beautiful," said Senator Yeats. "Grey brick upon brick," wrote Louis MacNeice. Nelson's pillar, rude reminder of the power of an empire, its former glory, and Horatio Nelson's victory at Trafalgar. Kiss me, Hardy. Nelson's pillar, Joyce's omphalos, phallic standing stone, a navel, and Olivia's tight belly button right in the centre of the hunting ground, pricking a summit, a peak on a plinth, a towering spire piercing the lowering Hibernian womb. Ripe pears, apples, and juicy oranges. Round the corner stood Jazzer Joyce, leaning on his stick at the heart of his own metropolis, paring his nails, while the Owlwins, all the Shawleys, hawked their fruity wares. Apples and oranges and ripe, juicy pears. Then the Dubliners, in their effrontery and high drollery, sang out their ballad. But 1:30 in the morning, without a bit of warning, Nelson took a powder and he blew. Oh, poor old Admiral Nelson, toodaloo. They're nearly all gone now to their eternal rest.
Well done.